You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
All right, episode 2 of our watch. Hey everybody, this is the final watch begins. I am super excited to talk about this episode. But let's just start with the formalities and the introductions at first. I'm Justin Zarian, your host with the most, the guy who's on all those shows at Breakfast Pub and Screener Squad and all the stuff that you may or may not listen to. Please listen to them. but anyways, I also got over here, we got Bradley Martin. How you doing?
Good, thank you. Shout out from the Screener Squad.
Excelente. We got over here, Alan. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, how's everyone doing? I'm here also.
You are also here on this podcast. Yes, indeed. We got Shaq Lambert over here. How you doing?
I'm good. It's me. You already know what it is.
Yeah, everybody knows. And over here, we got Nick Tice, the Merc with the mic himself. How you doing, buddy?
I am doing awful, you fucking assholes. So, let me, because you guys on this goddamn messenger, one time I said, I don't want any communication after until we fucking record. I don't care if it's the song at the end credits, shut the absolute fuck up.
That is why I moved us over to a personal chat.
And I only found out later because I deleted Messenger and Facebook and Twitter from all my shit before the episode because I knew this would happen.
Y'all need to put respect on Force of the Machine. Y'all need to put respect on her.
You knew that would happen.
See, Travis agrees with me.
On the other hand.
Also, sorry, last introduction. Travis is here on the mic for this week. How you doing, buddy?
I'm all right. And if anyone actually wants to send me Messenger, I will feel free to spoil anything to him in live person. Go for it.
You'll be disappointed because, again, like on other podcasts, we've established Travis is not real.
It's true. But you only have yourself to blame, though.
Indeed. He is only a subconscious part of my mind.
Travis is a faceless man. He's not anybody, really, so. Oh, boy. But, yeah.
A man knows when he's a Travis.
So, this is episode 2 of the final season, the title being A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms, which I love the fact that they're so conscious about spoilers that they won't put the title of the episode out until, like, 3 hours after the episode premieres, mm-hmm. Which...
Good.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good, but,
Dude, we don't want them to know that they're in Winterfell. They could be anywhere. Man.
Episode 4, The Death of Jon Snow, man. I can't wait for that episode.
The death again of Jon Snow.
Three deafening.
Oh, boy. But, yeah, so this episode was written by Brian Cogman, who's kind of the... He's kind of the, like the show's Bible, essentially. Like, he's the guy who, like, assembles all the script notes and everything together. So
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, he knows what he's talking about. And then the director, just like last week, is David Nutter, who he's directed quite a few episodes of the show, including an Emmy-winning episode, The Mother's Mercy, when Cersei was walking naked through the street.
Mm. Oh, so, shame.
He directed
Shame episode.
Yeah, so
that was some good shit.
Yeah, no, he's a veteran when it comes to directing for this show and quite a few other shows, actually. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, he was involved with producing the CW Batwoman show, too, coming up. So
really?
Oh, cool.
Wait for that.
Yeah, so, no, he's got quite a bit of a respect on here, and, yeah, I am excited to talk about this, because, you know, last week's episode I thought was good. You know, it's a decent setup, a decent start for the season. I think this episode is much better.
This is my shit!
Interesting, because I felt it had the same level of energy. I like both episodes, don't get me wrong. I felt this had the same energy, except for one particular character, finally, for the first time in 8 years, actually didn't piss me the fuck off.
Yeah,
well... he only had one scene.
Yeah, but it was fine.
And it was actually pretty poignant. I actually liked that scene.
Yeah. No, but I think I agree that this very much feels like it's Nutter's directing style. But I think that this episode, compared to the last episode, had a lot more going on in between the sequences. Like, you know, like now that we've introduced that all the characters are here, they're all in the same spot, you get a chance to actually let them talk to each other and interact with each other and do more stuff. And well, I think it actually... Yeah.
You've played the BioWare games. This is definitely the party DLC of Game of Thrones. You know, this
oh,
is
no,
the
no,
this
yeah,
is you're totally master, right. Where the guys just kind of hang out. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, like, this is the sequence right before the suicide mission on Mass Effect 2, where it's like, okay, everyone's getting assembled. We get one sex scene if you've been romancing your love interest in
oh,
here.
Yeah,
and
oh my god, yeah, you're...
I just love it because the only plot stuff happens in the first 15 minutes, like... All the exposition and plot stuff is done after the first 15 to 10, 20 minutes, and it's just like, well, I guess we just wait for the apocalypse.
We just wait to die now. Yeah.
And
yeah,
everyone is just kind of fucking around and reuniting, poking at each other, making fun of each other.
They're actually trying to out-character arc each other to see who dies first.
Right. especially 2 weeks from retirement Mormont.
Right.
he's in competition with my I have a girl back home, Grey Worm.
Yeah.
and then Ed, who's also the I am also here character. So it's
yeah, pretty much. It's funny because I had somebody actually
like
kind
Ed.
Of
yeah.
I had someone kind of spoil that there's like it was just set up this whole episode, like, because I watched it maybe an hour after it came out, just because if that's how life works.
No, that's
how
I do
someone,
too. So.
Yeah. I had someone told me, he's like, oh man, there's like no fighting at all. I'm like, why would you tell me this, dude?
Well, see, that's the funny thing I've noticed, that looking at some of the reviews, while it's mostly been positive reviews for this episode, there's been some people like freaking IndieWire where their news title for this article was the first one on the IMDb banner page. It's like, yeah. Oh man, this episode's so frustrating. It was boring. Nothing happened. And I'm like, that's not what the point of this episode was to be action. It's an episode about people knowing they're going to die and how they process that. And
oh, yeah, no. I loved it as a result. Like, it's funny because this is one of the few shows I could think of where I don't want to say nothing happens, but like, yeah, there's no action scenes, no dragons, no nothing, but it's still one of the most interesting episodes of the series because it's just people showing their characters. It's showing who they are down to a distilled moment, which is why some of the characters that normally piss me off, I fucking love this episode.
It's rare when you find a story that's so good the characters can just hang out together and you're fucking compelled watching mm-hmm. them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that whole scene where Davos and basically all the secondary characters are just hanging in one room, I could watch that forever, right?
Oh, like, yeah, that scene, like, that was a good, like, 10 minutes of the episode, dude. And it could have been longer. It could have been much, much
Giant's
longer.
Milk.
Dude, Giant's Milk? That whole
story
Giant's was glorious.
Milk.
I don't know what the fuck that even meant.
Everything that had to do with Tormund. Tormund was the MVP of this episode.
Dude, he was
from his introduction.
Weird crush on Brienne. Go for it, you redheaded bastard.
Literally, his very introduction is like Jon sees his fellow, like, former Night's Watchman, and you're thinking, oh, it's going to have a grand reunion. He crashes through the damn screen.
Oh, that was great.
That scared me a little bit, too. When he got tackled, I was like, oh, shit. Where'd you come from?
I didn't know he was a hugger. Oh, jeez.
A jump scare hug. Yeah,
dude,
seriously.
That guy's trying to outdo the Ironborn dude from the last episode of, like, who can chew the most scenery whenever he talks.
Yes, indeed. Now, Brad, you haven't been talking as much. What do you think about this episode?
I liked it. It was a good setup for the bloody stage that I'm sure will happen next. I thought they handled the, oh, I have dreams, I hope I don't die exposition very well. Because, you know, yeah. Game of Thrones in the past has set up the happy character before their untimely death before. Jaime and Cersei's daughter, for example, had such a happy attitude before she suddenly died. Stannis' daughter, you know, Stannis told his daughter, "You are my daughter. You
and
are of my
her.
Blood." And then burns her alive. So that was it was handled really well. I usually hate those moments like, come on, man, could you make it any more obvious? But since everybody was doing it, it seemed kind of cool.
We're
like,
down
wow.
To only the characters we really care about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, no, they've killed off all the secondary and uninteresting characters, really. So.
Yeah, there's like one or two flying around still, but.
Well, I mean, not everyone can be winners.
I mean, what? Like, the person I'm like the least compelled with is Beric, but even then, it's like, at least I've seen enough of him that I'm like, okay, you know, I want to see him at
he's
least.
He's around.
Yeah, he's around. Yeah,
he's
there.
He's around. I miss yeah. my eye.
Beric is cool.
Like,
I don't give a fuck.
He's like Jacob in Mass Effect. You kind of always forget he's there, but he's not like, he doesn't ruin it or anything.
The only time you wake up when he's around is like, oh yeah, flaming sword. That thing's awesome. So.
Oh, right. He's like a Jedi.
Dude.
That's cool.
Like, I like that
actually,
guy's design.
Now that we mentioned Beric, I fucking love his dialogue with the Hound.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that was great.
Oh, he's like, dude, how like, the Hound was like, listen, if you tell me this shit, the Lord of Light won't have to resurrect you 19 times before I just chuck you out this fucking building.
You I was like, yes. Me. It's
no, because the Hound is one of the most, like when it comes to the Brotherhood of Fire, he's like, yeah, I cannot believe I joined up with these fire worshippers. I hate my life right now.
There's so many people here that are just like, how the fuck did I get here?
Right?
Oh, yeah.
That's his entire character arc. It's like, why am I here right now?
Yeah, so now let's just start from the very beginning here, though. So, this episode opened up with a bang where it's like, oh, yeah, you know how Bran and Jaime have the big stare down at the end of the last episode? That directly pays off because they bring Jaime right in front of Dany. It's like, oh, yeah, by the way, he's also the dude who murdered my father, and we're going to have some fun here. And I think that resolved as well as it could have in this situation, which I'm surprised no one brought up the fact, like, you know, maybe let Jaime speak about why he murdered the dad, but I'm sure Dany wasn't in the point to listen anyways.
I don't think she gave a flying fuck.
Yeah, she's absolutely not in that mood.
But when they bring it up to...
I did like how he everyone... was like, I ain't sorry for any of that shit.
Everyone was prepared to butcher him until Brienne showed up and said, like, hey, no, listen, he saved my life, and by proxy, he saved yours. So... Yeah. Yeah, we can't kill him yet, and we need more as many people as we can to deal with the fucking ice zombies that are coming right now.
Yeah, but I love like how Daenerys is like, yeah, well, we need every able-bodied man except this guy's like half a man with one arm. Like, how helpful can
dude,
he be? Like,
I'll take anything at this point. If you can hold a fucking sword, get on that shit.
And Jaime can barely
also
do that.
Also, John is just sitting there like, it's only my third day, I don't know what's going on.
The Warden of North think about this. I think everyone has good points here.
John throughout this entire series has this consistent look on his face, like that Plankton meme of, I didn't know, I didn't get this, I didn't think I'd get this far. Like, has no idea what he's doing.
I mean, like, I was supposed to be dead by this point. Well, I don't even know what's going
on anymore. I've been dead.
Yeah. No, that's the thing. And I love it, too, that, you know, technically, John and Jaime have never shared a word of dialogue this entire show. More, you know, like, oh, like, barely. I think the first episode, maybe.
Actually, I don't think, even this is technically not a live dialogue, they just kind of speak in the same room.
Yeah, pretty much, so, but at least thankfully it resolves where, yes, they don't kill Jaime, and they decide, okay, fine, I guess he's telling the truth that Cersei is a humongous, you know, I'm too polite to say it, but, you know, it's just like,
bitch.
She's a fucking bitch!
Yeah, it's like, yeah, I ain't saying to my armies, you guys are boned, bye, so, Jaime's just like, look, fine, I'm here, I'm a man of my word, I will do it, so, that's good, you know, It's so good to see Jaime actually do stuff, because I gotta say, Nicolas Coster-Waldau, I think he's really been stepping up these last two seasons, like, because he's pretty much one of the few characters left with, like, an outstanding character arc that still needs to be resolved, and he's pulling some heavy weight dramatically with this.
I think they pulled this off, I've only ever seen it pulled off one time before, and that was in The Shield with Vic Mackey, where the show starts, and I'm like, this fucking asshole.
Yeah.
I'm going to watch this show to see this guy get his. And then by the end of it, you're fucking rooting for him.
Yeah.
I don't think you're ever rooting for Vic in The Shield, but I see
I
what
found
you
myself
mean.
Rooting for him, and I felt like shit for doing it, but like, God, I don't want him to get caught.
Yeah, no, but that's the thing, is that, you know, even Jaime admits, is like, look, if everything didn't happen the way it did, I'd still be that evil a-hole effing my sister, you know? Just like, he realizes that, but he's like, well, I'm here for a reason. I don't know why I'm here, but I guess I'm here, you know?
and then Bran Stark, surprisingly enough, not pissing me the fuck off, has the greatest, like, I could kind of fuck with you, but you know what? You're helpful. As he goes, the things we do for love.
That's awesome. Just, he just says the line to him, like, and Jaime's like, oh, shit.
So here it goes, and nothing happens, because Bran's like, yeah, we kind of need you.
Every time Bran does that, like, with Littlefinger, with Jaime, with everybody else, they always have that, oh, shoot, callbacks look on their face, you know? Oh, I love it. But, so that all happens, and then we actually get some really good stuff between Brienne and Jaime, which, yay, finally Brienne gets to do something this episode, you know?
Yeah.
Man, they get, like, two really solid good moments, like their first one here when they're just walking, and then I love, like she's... weirded out by him, like, not insulting her. And then, like, by the end of it, he's like, I may not be much of a man, but I would be honored to serve under you. And me and Travis both, like, audibly went, aw, dat nice. there's a lot of dat nice moments in this.
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of great little, like, exchanges like that. But yeah, so that all happens, and then meanwhile, Dany is still pissed off at Tyrion because it's like, you should have known that your sister was gonna lie to us.
Yeah, and then you have Sansa, and then the conversation with Sansa, holy shit.
Which I, you know, because I've been kind of on the fence with Sansa, where I'm like, I just don't really care too much about Sansa. Like, I like her, but she's still kind of less interesting to me. But that was a great scene between her and Dany, because it's like, okay, finally, two women just sit in this table and just have a conversation with each other, you know?
Yeah, that's what I wanted last episode.
And, and the thing is, when you have that conversation with the two people, it's every single conversation that happens between these two people is exactly why you, again, you brought up Mass Effect. That's a great fucking example, because usually you go up to every single character and you get that whole with a dialogue. With this, it's like, hey, let's try to figure out, like, we got a lot of conflict between us. Like, most shows would have just had that build and then maybe at some point have some pettiness on Sansa Stark. It's like, no, let's actually sit these people down. It's like, let's get our shit on the table. It's like, yeah, I didn't fuck with Jon Snow. If anything, he fucked with me, so look at it that way. And it's like, I love that fucking exchange. I wish it went on longer. Because I hate that thing in fucking shows when there's some conflict and we can resolve it right this second, but the plot is calling.
Yeah.
But no, my whole thing is, this is the most also I've liked Sansa in a while. Yeah. Because she's even just so upfront with Daenerys. Like, listen, when we won the battle, we said we're not being ruled by anyone ever again. What's going to happen to us? Like, when you take, like, say you take the Iron Throne, what the fuck's gonna happen to us? Because we're not gonna bow to nobody ever again.
And I like that there's no answer to that. It's just like,
Well, the only answer for Danny is like, oh, you'll fucking bow.
Yeah. The answer is always,
how do I say this?
We might be getting along now and we'll fight the zombies, but you're gonna fucking bow to me.
How do I say this politely that you're my bitch? You are my bitch? You will be my bitch. I don't know.
In due time, you will acknowledge that you are.
There we go.
Well, I like with Dany's cause and her journey, she always has this look when people defy her. Emilia Clarke has this surprised expression like, I can't believe how many people want to burn by dragonfire that I meet.
It's like they don't understand that I have fucking dragons.
Well, most people die before they could tell people she has dragons and will use them, so...
Yeah.
I do like she's basically Denzel Washington like, no, I own this place. You just live here. Like,
that's hilarious.
Yeah. But then...
It just became training day.
That leads to another great scene, which actually kind of in proxy also made me like Sansa a lot, is when Theon arrives to Winterfell, which I'm like, you know what? I've never been more glad to see Theon arrive in anything than I was in this scene, because it was just...
I never thought I'd be happy to see him.
I know, right? But it was just such a great scene.
It was a reunion I never thought I actually really wanted until it happened.
Yeah,
exactly. So, you know, Theon's just like, hey, my place is here. I'm going to fight with you guys. This is the only way I can make up, which means he's probably
going
to die.
Oh, he's absolutely going to die.
Well, I love that he turns into the Skid, like, look, everyone knows I'm not making it out of the next episode. Just throw me where the shit is the thickest. Have me with Bran where the Night King is going to come and fuck all the Ironborn up. It doesn't matter. I'm not making it out.
So I can sacrifice myself to save my adoptive family, make everything good again.
Yeah, Theon is with the audience like, yeah, we all know what's going to happen.
Yeah, which is so sad. But it's I mean, again, after, you know, so much of hating Theon during those first few seasons, I've kind of come around to where it's like, you know, anytime they show him and Sansa sharing a scene together, you're like, oh, I kind of wish he wasn't going to obviously die, but because they're kind of cute together, you know?
Nah.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah.
I don't. He can go.
Anyone having
though.
To
like,
deal
sorry.
With Ramsay
well,
for
really.
So long, yeah, no, I'm going to feel so bad for them.
Yeah, which was including Sansa, and who part of the fault is that?
Which is still one of my favorite sequences ever in this show, when they think that they're going to escape, because it looks like Ramsay's going to break them out of jail, and then they just end up in the same exact place. It's like, oh, you thought you were going to escape, did you? Oh, it's so great. But yeah, that all happens, and then shortly after that, Tormund, Beric, and Ed arrive, which, again, as we said, greatest introduction ever of bringing Tormund back in, where he just jump scare tackles Jon Snow, just like, yeah!
Full body tackle / hug.
It's from completely off screen, too.
And jump scares, by the way. I was like, whoa, shit.
Man, he came out of nowhere.
That was great. But yeah,
Jon Snow's fucked if he can't take out, like, if you can't deal with one dude that's gonna tackle him and can't hear that shit, how are you gonna fight the Night King?
Also, I love that the first thing that Tormund says after, like, saying hi to John and shit is, where's the big woman?
Yeah,
I had to rewind that dialogue because I was too busy laughing at the tackle.
I got like 12 hours to seal the deal, man. I don't have time to waste.
Yeah, no, so that was all happening, and then of course they give the warning. It's like, oh yeah, by the way, the Night King's gonna be here soon. Like, how soon? Let me look at my watch here.
Within the hour, if recording 24.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's gonna happen, and you know, they have the whole thing where, like you said, pretty much this is the point when the plot stops in the episode, because they get everyone assembled, they have whatever weapons they have now, and they're just pretty much waiting out the moment when they're all gonna get slaughtered. Or hopefully not, but you know, to the point when the battle starts.
And I think that's where this becomes one of the most, yeah, one of the best shows on television, because I can't think of a single show that can go for 40 plus minutes of just people in a room talking and make it compelling as hell. Well, like, I can't think of anything that can do that.
Well, what works so well about that is that they've established these characters so much over the course of 7 and 8 seasons. It's like, yeah, these characters can just sit and talk to each other because we know them so well. You know, it's like sitting with your old friends, you know, at this
exactly.
point.
Exactly.
Well, yeah, they're all, like, together, and I love, like, Davos, and, like, some of them are like, yeah, we were the survivors, we made it. I mean, a lot of it is based off of just luck. Like, a lot of us just lucked our way here.
And plot convenience.
And tomorrow, some of us, our luck is gonna run out.
Yeah.
So, we might as well enjoy it while we can right now.
Which, gosh, I hope Davos has a little bit of that luck, because, I mean, I know he could probably die next episode, but
he
love
got
Davos.
Lucky as shit twice.
Yeah, no, seriously, like,
dude.
Their whole thing is, he survived both the Battle of Blackwater and the Battle of the Bastards.
I don't know
how
he survived.
And he's, like, without a lick of combat experience.
He's used up a couple of his lives.
I have no idea how he survived the Battle of Blackwater. Like, to this day, I'm like, how did you make it out of that gigantic fire pit that was that battle?
Yeah.
Well, his sons died, so it wasn't a good survival for him. It was...
True.
I guess.
Yeah.
Lost something.
Well, I mean, at least his newly adopted son now, pretty much, Gendry, is still around. So it's like, okay, he hasn't lost everything yet. But, yeah, so that was cool. There was also that great sequence from that the War Council to decide the battle plan against the Night King, which... I'm still not crazy about the fact that they're pretty much going with the hive mind mentality. It's like, oh, if we stop the Night King, then we'll stop most of the army. Because I'm like...
Yeah. See, I actually like it. And here's why. I like that it's not just a futile battle. Like, they have an objective and a mission that's very difficult to accomplish, but yet feasible and reasonable to achieve.
And there's also a main objective. It makes it a bit...
When you have a goal like that, it makes it seem like there's a chance. Like,
true.
Because otherwise, we're just watching them getting slaughtered next episode, and we don't, like, they're just going to get their teeth kicked in.
Or, like, best case scenario, it's a Dynasty Warriors fucking, like, hey, just watch a fucking hour-long battle of people just slicing zombies till they die. Like,
yeah, so
I
like that there's a stakes to it, and I love that the Night King, he knows that if he goes down, they all go down, but he chooses to be in almost all the battles anyway.
That's some confidence for you.
Well, he's been there personally. It feels, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. The Night King is much more interesting than I thought he was, like, because he never talks, but this feels personal for him. Like, Bran is right. Like he's come for me once before, and he was on me for that shit. Like,
he
wants me dead for whatever reason. He's got a hard on for me.
Which, unfortunately, Bran is pretty much apparently the GPS for the Night King, because it's like, oh yeah, by the way, since he touched me, he can see wherever I go now. So you can kind of say, you know, to Alyn's defense about hating Bran Stark, it's kind of his fault that he's at Winterfell in the first place, but. You know.
Oh, it's funny because you think I'd have a nervous breakdown when I fucking heard that, but I'm like, no, one, that makes a lot of sense, and two, it's like, he's willing to step up. He's like, yeah, don't fucking hide me. I'll leave right now if I can, but I know you guys are the best chance to stop him. Put me, like, literally sacrifice me. I mean, at this point, I'm fucking clapping. Yeah, sacrifice is fucking bitch ass. But he makes a good goddamn point where it's like, okay, we need an objective because we can't just have this be a sense of slaughter, like you said. We need the person we're going to focus on to stop this fucking battle because, hey, this needs to stop at some point. Let's sacrifice one of the most useless characters in cinematic in television history, and we got our objective.
There
we set everything up.
Damn.
I love
it.
I'm sorry. Name a more useless character than Bran Stark.
The Dorne character.
Never mind.
Yeah, I mean, the Sand Snakes.
Yeah,
pretty
the Sand
Snakes.
He's not even a character anymore. I don't even know why you're mad. He's basically an exposition tool.
Yeah.
Yeah, exposition tool. Like, only that the last, like, four episodes.
Well, hating Bran at this point is like hating a tire iron. Like, it's just...
Yeah, fuck those things, man.
Damn you, tire iron, for...
Yeah, those things are awful.
Like, what the fuck?
Fuck tire irons, man. I stand
like,
by
he's
that.
He's not even a character anymore.
Yeah, the next time your car breaks down, Alyn, see how much you need the tire and iron. I'm just going to say. But
Alyn's point, you know what? You are physically superior to him, since no matter what he does, you can walk and he can't. So fuck him, right?
Ooh. But why does everybody call me out for...
I'm agreeing
for, like,
with you, Alyn. I disagree with you, you get mad. I agree with you, you get mad.
No, because everyone
I
on Facebook...
Like
everyone for Facebook for the last year and a half, every time I talk a bitch about Bran Stark, like, he's in a wheelchair, what do you want? I'm like, something.
And yet you still walk into it every time.
Because I'm stupid.
Well, the Night King's objective, I'll just say, fits into a lot of evil fantasy tropes where his pursuit of destroying all life will end up being his undoing. Yeah. So that's kind of neat. I like that storytelling
element.
They
sold him as a arrogant prick.
Yeah.
Like that he would actually come down and personally do that because, you know, he leaves the messages at Hardhome. He, like, he showed Jon Snow his power even though he didn't have to.
Yeah, that was
cool. He's a show-off.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he's Naruto. Like, I was going to say earlier with the whole, hey, you got to take out this one guy, and he says that dude. He's just like, pulling the Naruto shadow clone.
That's what I love about this is that all the battle is like, there's objectives, everyone knows what they have to do, there's a tactic going on, and everyone's motivation makes sense. Like, I thought it's a really great setup.
Yeah, no, and I like the fact that there is strategy to it. Like, they actually have characters that will be in certain parts of the area. We know exactly where the layout is of the battle in the sequence. And
well, I was always thinking, like, well, at Hardhome, I mean, they did get fucked. But that wall, that wood wall, hold out for, like, a couple minutes before they got completely screwed. So Winterfell's, like, a really defensible location. So it should be able to hold out for a while.
To be fair, they also
until
lost,
the dragon
like,
shows up.
Yeah, they lost, like, several thousand people outside the wall before they broke the wall. So didn't really help that much.
But then I think of, like, yeah, the wall, and also they have zombie mammoths and giants now.
Oh, jeez.
Dude, I love, okay, shit. Yeah, because they're talking about, like, oh, man, how are we going to deal with this? And Arya goes to Bran's, like, hey, do you think Dragonfire is going to stop him? And he just goes, fucking no, maybe.
I like Bran's, like,
he's like, no one's ever tried, so might as well.
That was my favorite
maybe he's
thing
immortal.
In his
maybe he can't be killed. We don't know.
No one's ever fucking tried,
kind of
so
just
fucking
a guess.
Fucking baby.
But you know what I also loved about that War Council scene is that I don't think we've ever seen this many main characters in the same room at once. And that was just such a great experience seeing all these great actors bouncing off one another in the sequence, you know? It's just like, wow.
Because everyone had a point, even freaking Theon, who's like, wow, you're actually, like, you're giving it a lot for this. Like,
oh, yeah.
I loved that, too. He's like, I took this castle from you and I was wrong. Let me help you defend it now.
Yeah.
That's a great redemption arc for him. That's good shit.
It is.
That's some full circle good writing shit.
And, you know, that's the thing that people have been complaining about how, like, oh, it's getting much more Hollywood and blockbustery in the later seasons. But I feel like this is where they've been trying to save a lot of the dramatic payoff for the show. You know, because this is literally the end run.
I almost cried when Jaime knighted Brienne.
Oh, like, that was
okay. I'll admit to that.
Okay, we got to talk about that scene now because you brought it up. Because
that entire thing is like the crux of the episode is the Fireside podcast they were doing.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, you know, they were having their own MCA, the Minute Chat Attack. Like
pretty much.
Yeah, because that's the whole thing is that everyone pretty much breaks off into groups to decide how they're going to spend their last few hours before the battle. And, you know, it's, let's see, it's Tormund, Brienne, Jaime, Davos, Podrick, and who?
Tripod.
Yeah, Tripod.
Tripod.
Yeah. Oh, and Tyrion. Because, that whole sequence when they're all talking to each other, that's a good, like 7-10 minutes of the episode. But everything that happens in that sequence is great. Like, Tormund trying
all
to...
All of that shit. That whole sequence. Gold. Everything.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
It's just amazing.
I just love how it starts up with everyone going, like, yo, Tyrion's like, hey, everyone, do you want a drink? And everyone turns it down. They're like, fine, I'll get a fucking drink. Even Davos, like, he's the most staunch about it. He's like, no, I'm just here for the warmth. And then he sees Tormund just drink his fucking... cup of giant's
dude,
milk or whatever the fuck.
That
like, you know,
story.
I'll take that drink now.
I don't know what's better about Thorin, that story or the constant look Brienne had of get this guy away from me.
I love that. He says to her like it's the greatest pickup line he's ever thought of.
For 40 something.
Hey, I'm sure the most wildly women that work.
The look on everyone's face is like, what is this crazy motherfucker talking about?
He's like that one friend of the party. They're like, yo, listen. All right, trust me. He's cool. He's kind of weird, but he's cool. Trust me.
So yeah, no, but yes, it's great. I love the fact that Tormund, Jaime, and Brienne are in this weird, like, I don't know if it's fully like a romantic love triangle kind of thing. But
it's a love triangle.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's an awkward triangle. They both kind of want her and she wants to get the fuck out.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like...
She wants Jaime.
Yeah, Jaime has earned it. Jaime has earned her affection because he has like been... You know, for being the douchebag he's been in the earlier seasons, he's treated her with more respect than almost any other person in this show, you know?
Even from the get-go, from the very
other
beginning.
Other than Renly, just so nobody gets mad at us.
Well, true. And that's the thing. It's like, it's interesting where it's like, you know, one, I kind of never thought I would think this way. It was like, where I kind of hope Jaime and Brienne live to at least get one moment together, which may not happen, probably. But two, I love the fact that, you know, Jaime doesn't have to try too hard. Meanwhile, Tormund is trying so freaking hard. And it's like, look, A for effort, F for actual execution, man. Come on.
Although, now there's a whole thing on Twitter now that, hey, Tormund's a feminist icon now because what? Like, Brienne is like, I'm not a knight. Like, women can't be knights. Like, why not?
Why not?
It's like a tradition. Fuck tradition. Tradition,
man. I would knight you in a second.
I would knight you all day, baby.
10 times over.
All night long, I would knight you.
We stand a feminist wildling king.
So the wildlings have always been more free thinking. Like, for the Starks, when they name off their impressive titles, it would be their lineage, their heritage, and where they belong in a house. For wildlings, you know, it's like, hey, I motorboated a giant once.
It'd be kind of cool if it wasn't for all the cannibalism.
Yes.
I literally was like, man, I think last episode I was like, yeah, that guy is functionally immortal. He has survived more things than Jon Snow. And
yeah,
we now know why.
Rather than him.
At this point, have him go up against the Night King. He has never, like, nothing has ever stopped him, and
man,
we know why.
That's a battle for the ages. Oh, God. That'd be awesome.
You walk up to him, it's like, you know why you can't kill me? I sucked on a giant's tit for 3 months.
For Tormund as well.
Stabbing him like, man, this guy won't go down.
Disturbs everyone else does, like, what the fuck?
Dude, this will be that scene in fucking Matrix where he just stabs him trying to turn him, and then he just takes it out like, that's all you got, bitch?
Well, as a wildling, just to make a final point, surviving the night is like a daily routine for a wildling. So while they're all mourning and gathering around like, we're all going to die, he's kind of like, yeah, it must be Tuesday. So that's what it's like beyond the wall.
No, so that's one harsh. Brief aside I want to mention outside of the group. But in terms of like all the other people that they were talking, like they cut over for the night. Grey Worm and Missandei, I want to say, like I said last week, fucking Winterfell's mad racist.
Oh gosh, yeah, that whole
never
scene.
Seen black people before. She goes up to two little kids and she's like, "Hi, hello, nice to meet you guys." And they look at her like, "Who is this weirdly colored person?" They didn't say it, but it's absolutely implied.
Look, I'm not saying okay. It's less racism, more they just don't know who the hell these people are and they're scared of shit because they look fucking different. I don't think there's any hatred behind those eyes. It's just scared because they don't know.
I agree with you, Alan. I don't trust those dark people either.
Oh motherfucker! Yeah. Don't you fucking put that on me, you bitch? I'll fight you.
I'm trying, guys. I don't know what he
but
wants.
Yeah. But I did. Yeah, no, I did love how telegraphed the whole like, listen. My people, like your people, are peaceful. My people are at war, but we'll run away together after this war is done.
Yeah, because he's
and,
totally
yeah,
gonna live.
It's
yep,
so telegraphed,
sure.
But at the same time, it's so adorable that I want them to make it out so much.
Oh, I know,
dude, but I know they won't.
We cannot go on the basis of let's have a happy after, and that'll be the reason they died. Because in that case, everyone on the show is dying next week.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen,
that's cool.
Still a
that's
realistic.
Cool
somebody has to live through the next fuck. We have 6 episodes. Somebody has to live through.
Well,
the
Well,
I'm
thinking
one.
That Grey Worm and Mormont, they go out back to back doing like a doing an objective together. Like that's
no,
how they
I,
go
I really think that I really think the Grey Worm. I think he makes it. I think that they both get out. I really think that was telegraphed that they're gonna make it out. That's my prediction. I think they survive.
Grey Worm's
Jorah
top 5.
Also does like the ultimate friend zone.
I think he did everything
move.
But bring out a picture of Missandei and
like caress it with his
home.
Fingers.
No, she didn't admit she's pregnant yet. That's it.
Oh yeah.
No,
yeah. Oh man. If she turns out she's pregnant, he's definitely dead.
Which that would be hard to do. It's like, so wait, how did that happen exactly?
Yeah, that's a good. Actually, I just realized that.
How did he go? How did he un-eunuch himself?
They
it's the weirdest
the
thing.
Well, they never explained exactly how much of his shit works, did they?
Yeah.
Well, no, because if he's a eunuch, by definition, either he has his balls or his dick cut off. Either way.
Well, he managed to make
anyway,
something
I wanted to
work.
Say side, there's a side note. They mentioned the crypt a lot in this. They're like, oh, all the people who aren't really like capable fighters or stuff like that. So like Tyrion's down there. Missandei's down there. All the women and children are down there. The amount of times they mention it, I feel like they're going to get fucked.
Well, that's the thing. But also,
I feel like there must be a back way out of the crypt, like that they're going to have to use or something. Like, oh, Bran knows a secret location. Because Shaq is 100% right. They mention the crypt all the time in the episode. Yeah. And one, I feel like some of these characters still don't quite get what's going on. Like, I like that Mormont's like, hey, you're you're part of our house. You shouldn't be out there battling. And a little badass Mormont is like, I'm getting out there and fucking up some zombies. I don't know about you. And it's like, yeah, dude, it's the apocalypse. If someone can hold a bow, like has two hands, and they throw a bow and arrow in there and get them up on the fucking wall. They got one hand, give them a sword and cover that guy on the wall.
Yeah, like, although that made me really sad. Well, there's that scene earlier, too, when Davos sees that little girl. It's like, I want to go out and fight, too. And I'm just like, oh, they're going to kill so many people this next episode, even these little kids.
That, like, musty-ass soup, and none of them took the bread.
Like, yeah, but, you know, you got to understand, it's like, yeah, of course people are not going to know it's the apocalypse. As far as they're concerned, it's just another war.
Before a battle.
Yeah, you never know. But yeah, no, like
the other people got drunk during the damn battle before the battle.
Because again, they don't know what they're expecting.
There's
they're
something
just
I'm
like,
confused
it's a
about
war.
With the crypt. What's up? Like, we must keep all the people who can't fight in the crypt. John, how did it go at Hardhome? He raised his hands, and all the dead came to life and murdered everything living. So
well, we hope that the bones, most of them are like decayed to a point where they can't rise.
Wait, no, are they checking? Like, there were skeletons that ripped out of the ground in the season finale of like season 4. Like literally just bones.
My thing is that anyone that gets nailed on the wall or goes down inside Winterfell, they got to get on that and burn those bodies away.
Exactly.
They can get at any time.
We don't want
rise
the,
that
we,
shit up.
We don't want to see a zombie version of Baby Stark who was killed two seasons ago. Come on.
Bradley, if they make it to the crypt, I don't think they fucking care. They're dead. Like, it doesn't matter if they got an extra 30 people. It doesn't fucking matter. But I actually have, like, a much more cynical view of that. Do you guys remember the Battle of Blackwater? That,
absolutely.
Where you had a Tyrion doing his crazy shit, and then it just cuts to Cersei being drunk for 20 minutes, talking about some bullshit in a fucking safe house. I'm afraid that in order for them to save money, they're going to keep cutting to the crypt during the big battle sequence to save money, because they can't have a freaking 35-minute battle sequence.
Well, yeah, I mean,
they haven't done any of that cute shit since season 4.
How long was the Battle of the Bastards?
I want to say
I'd
it
say
was
half an hour, probably 30 minutes.
No, actually, no. I think actually, if you calculate it, the Battle of Bastards, all the battle sequences there would be about 15 to 20 minutes of the episode. So,
It depends on what we're considering battle: actual fighting or the setup where people throwing arrows. At
oh no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, if you start off from
I'm
the moment when
starting the arrows.
Yeah, no, I'm saying if you count by the moment when they line up the armies to go battle each other to the very end of that sequence, that's about 20 minutes of the episode that they did.
Yeah, but as far as actual fighting, when Jon Snow's doing stuff and people are dropping bodies,
20 minutes. That whole battle off in the charts.
The next episode is going to be how long is it? Like an hour.
It's an hour and a half. They actually lengthened it this time, so it's like
okay. Yeah. So yeah, I don't want an hour. Hour and a half of straight battle all the time. That sounds exhausting. Yeah.
Although they say that this probably will be the biggest battle they've ever filmed for the show.
I don't doubt it. Like, apparently it's gonna be fucking zombie mammoths, giants, dragons, zombie dragons, whites, white walkers,
trebuchets. Like, yeah.
The Avengers,
Avengers of the main characters, sub characters, like character arcs are going to get fulfilled, redemption be had. It's going to be awesome. I can't wait for the next episode.
Okay, guys, who's going to have more deaths in the next week? Mortal Kombat story, Avengers, or Game of Thrones?
who would see that coming,
though? I
think if
we next out Endgame, like the way they get the respawn, I think it's going to be Game of Thrones by a landslide.
Yeah.
Tony Stark flies in, starts blasting a bunch of people, and then it quickly flashes Disney has bought HBO.
That would be hilarious.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
And Reality Gem transports him into Game of Thrones.
Well, and there's like, look, another Stark. You can come help us fight. So,
and he's like, oh, wait, I know this story. I know how Starks are dealt with.
Bran would say something like, oh, an Infinity Stone. I'm the Three-Eyed Raven. I have the Soul Gem or something. Oh,
dude, if Bran Stark shows up in Endgame, I will clap. I will laugh.
I won't. I'd be like, get the fuck out. got Scarlett Johansson. We don't need you.
Moving on. I think we got to talk about the main part.
There's a few other things. There's only one other thing I wanted to talk about before that one is that we actually get that talk with John, Sam, and Ed on the wall too. Which, hey, look, Ghost showed up for an episode. Isn't that amazing?
Yes, one scene.
Hey,
15
hey,
seconds.
Guys, y'all gonna die next week,
thing, buddy.
Yeah, but that was kind of nice to see them. Like, it was very reminiscent of that talk they had on the wall before the season 4 battle, where they all have the little chit chats. Like, we've seen a lot of stuff, haven't we? Kind of thing. But it was also nice, again, like you've been saying, Bradley. Like, John Bradley playing Sam has been a big MVP this season. You know, just all these big heavy scenes.
Yeah. MVP this series.
He gives Mormont his sword, and that's cute.
More full circle stuff.
Like,
yeah. Which that
there's
was
a lot of like stuff that's just like I'm like, oh, this is adorable.
You're all gonna die.
I mean, you're all probably gonna die, but right now it's really cute.
Yeah, and then and then the only other thing, just before we cover the big thing that happened, was the actual ending of the fireside chat thing where they knight Brienne, and that scene was just like all throughout that scene was fantastic. Like just everything
beautiful.
About it. Yeah, that was probably the single best part of the whole episode.
Well, I love that, like, when you notice when she says, like, I never wanted to be a knight, and Pod gives her that look, like, fucking bullshit. That's all you've ever wanted. Like,
well, of course she has to say that, because, like, yeah, you can't show that it bothers you. You just have to kind of toughen it up.
The way she looks when she stands up and everyone's clapping for her and calls her Sir Brienne, I'm like,
I can't do this anymore, guys.
Yeah. So yeah. Now that we've talked all about that, we got to talk about the other thing that happened that's got the internet on a flurry right now.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
Isn't Maisie Williams an adult? By like
okay,
a couple
so okay,
years?
She's
like 20 something.
She's like 22.
This isn't the first time a child has been aged up by like 10 years for a sex scene, though. I mean, Tommen was like a 6-year-old boy, and then all of a sudden he was 21.
Like, character-wise, I'm pretty. Character-wise, I think Arya is like, what, 18 now?
No, she has to be 16. There's
based on the.
I don't know. They never really keep that well of track of the timetable.
Right.
I would say 16,
it's all over
17.
The place.
But also, Gendry's supposed to be 16 or 17. Or like,
no, I think
he's
a little. Yeah, he's a little older.
A little
than her.
Older her than
he's
her, but not
he's
by much.
Slightly older.
Yeah. Okay, I think that one of the biggest problems, not that there's a big age difference, is that they look so age different.
They
it's
do.
Probably just the
no,
way
they don't.
The act.
I think
Gendry looks
shorter.
Like
grown man.
Gendry
she's
looks
a lot
like
shorter.
He's...
And looks way more childlike than he does.
Yeah, but I mean, okay. So let me just say,
I think
say
she
for the
always
people.
Looked like an adult. Like even when she was a kid, she had an adult face.
Okay, hold on. Let me just set this up for people. So, yes, the big thing was that Arya and Gendry have been flirting with each other last episode and the beginning of this episode when they're flirting over throwing obsidian daggers at the wall. And then finally, right when he makes her that giant freaking double-bladed weapon, which is awesome, they decide, Arya decides, you know what? I may not be alive in the next few hours. I want to see how you use that hammer on me. So,
you have the Gendry hammer.
Hey, you gave me a spear. Why don't you give me another spear?
Aww.
In other words, she just wants some dick.
Yeah. So they do the deed with each other, and I know everyone's like, no. Apparently, the biggest thing that was searched last night after the episode premiered was Arya's age. That's like the number one search last night.
You want to make sure it's not weird.
But again, Bradley's point. I didn't think about how old was Tommen when he got married and then slept with what's her name?
I want to say he was younger.
Was it Marjorie?
But
oh,
I can't.
Oh, Prince Butters.
Prince Butters.
I guess I'm king of the King's Landing now.
That is hilariously
okay accurate. Oh boy, Marjorie's really she's real pretty. Oh boy, I hope I don't get in trouble.
I think that was to avoid child labor because of the hours that little kid would have had to put in for the season, and they just couldn't do it. That's why they aged up Tommen. And they thought, well, now that he's an adult, might as well give him a sex scene. So,
which is even funnier because that actor who plays Tommen, the second version of him, is an actor who was already a different character who got killed off in season 2. And they're like, well, we kind of like this guy, so let's make him Tommen now.
Well,
just,
and then they've always thrown out the book ages, too, because Robb Stark in the book is like 14.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, when he is doing the war thing. So the ages have been all over the place since the beginning.
Yeah, I mean, it's never clear how many years have passed even in the story. It's like,
it has to be at least a couple.
We don't know
like,
how what the age they were at the beginning. We don't know how much time has passed. All we can go off of is what they look like. And even then, it's like, yeah, but they're all 20-year-olds playing teenagers.
Right.
Like, it's all CW rules. I don't know.
Pretty much. The reason I said that, because like when season 1 happens, the end of season 1, she's trial, let's say 10, 11, 12. I want to say it's at least been 4 or 5 years because the way people talk, it's been a while. It's not like, hey, I saw you last week.
All of it is just guesswork. So I don't get why people are so, if we confirm she was 18, it's not weird. You're just uncomfortable with it because she looks young. And I get it. It's two young people exploring their sexuality. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, people do it all the time.
I'm just surprised that our society has a problem with a younger woman being with an older man.
Never
been a problem before.
Never
been an issue.
We're about to elect a Roy Moore to Senate, probably, so I don't get why those people are pissed.
Yeah, exactly.
It's because, again, it's because it's a popular media and people are like, what the fuck's going on? But it's like, it's funny because like, I've seen the memes of like, Arya just murdered like a room full of people. Hey, who cares? She had sex. Oh my God.
our society that we just are weird about sex, but violence and gore is totally okay.
It's
a weird double standard. Also, one thing I just wanted to point out, because it was really funny, it's not part of the show, but like it happened yesterday when fucking Sophie Turner was Instagrammed about that scene, and she said, and I quote, "He Easter Bunny hopped into that pussy."
Are you fucking kidding me?
She literally says this.
Was she drunk?
That's some nasty shit.
Sansa's hilarious.
I'm talking about your sister. Sophie Turner's crazy.
Now, the only question I have about the sex scene is, where was Bran Stark?
He was like a fly on the wall, a rat.
He sees everything, so you know he was watching that.
It's like, hey, Bran, we need you to help with the war council.
Looking at his sister.
Hey, Bran, get over here. We need you to help with the war council. What? Just one
Brad,
second.
You're the one keeping track of this with all the strings on the board. Like, what's going on?
Also, apparently she's good as shit because he was knocked the Genji's knocked the fuck out.
Dude, he was totally unconscious. What did she do to him?
Well, knocked him the fuck out. Literally, she just punched him after a while.
Although she is sitting there like, whatever. He is underwhelmed.
Yeah, was that a look of foreboding, or was she unimpressed?
It's never good your first time.
It's never clear, but it could be both.
I'm about to die, and I just had the worst first sex ever. So,
sorry. It turns out your first sex, it's always a letdown. Sorry, bud.
Yeah, I can say as a married man too. You know, just saying.
Even wow, holy shit! Wait a
minute,
your wife's gonna just throw something at you.
We're
not surviving next week.
Shade at your wife now.
I'm kidding.
Your wife's gonna be like, you're not surviving next week's battle either.
Man, I didn't even have Justin in the pool, but it turns out he was the one that died.
Welcome to episode 3. This episode is dedicated in memory of Justin.
It's dedicated in memory of Justin Zarian.
See, that's what happens when you do character development. You die.
All men must die, sadly. So, anyway.
happened. No, the scene was fine. It was unexpected, but I was like, hey.
Well, I mean, all right. Here's the thing. I wasn't thinking about the age particularly with that. I just thought, like, it's so weird seeing where, she started off as a young little girl, and we've seen her grow up in the show. So it's almost like a weird, fatherly attachment to it, just like, oh, little Arya's grown up, and oh my, what's going on here, kind of thing.
Well,
you know?
It actually reminds me of, I think this was season 5 or 6, when Sansa unfortunately gets raped by...
Season 5.
Yeah, people were kind of the same kind of way, where they're like, yo, what the fuck? Because they're seeing a young girl, someone that grew up with the show, in this very, very compromising position, so they're like, oh, what the fuck? So this is not the first time this has happened in the show.
No,
it's just
this is consensual and not really. True. It's not a big deal, at least not to me. I don't find it. Who here finds it like? Sure, you probably felt a little awkward, but does anyone find it like it threw them out of the show? Like,
no.
Oh man,
no, absolutely
I find
it
more awkward
not.
Than any other sex scene.
Anyone
in
else
show.
Is just childish.
Yeah, I feel like that's what the problem with a lot of critics who are just trying to be like they're trying to like put themselves on the moral high ground, just like, oh well, that's just so disgusting. I'm just like, it's again, if you've been with the show this long, it's kind of. Actually par for the course and actually not nearly as bad as like Jaime raping Cersei or Ramsay raping Sansa and that stuff. It's actually pretty minimal in the grand scale.
And even if you want to go historically, during the medieval times, man, like you're 15 being married off. So
yeah,
like,
people got married young back then.
True.
So. Well, they also died at like 35 of old age. So
yeah, no, that's the thing where they always say like, he lived to a ripe old age of 40. It's like, what?
Yeah, Sir Davos actually 28.
He started young.
That's what I love with like Tyrion's like, oh man, I'm gonna die at the age of 80. I'm like, really? 80? That's a long time in this world.
Man, that's hedging your bets there, guy.
I also love it too. Sorry, that just reminded me how there's that great callback where he has that line about, I always dreamed I was going to die at 80 with a cup of wine in my hand and a woman's mouth around my cock. You know, and he stole it so many times that Jaime can quote him on that as well.
Yeah, verbatim. Yeah, that was good.
Hey, let me ask a question to the group. Since this episode is all characters interacting with each other, was there anyone was disappointed that didn't interact with these.
You know, I will say the one part that it was still a good scene, but I wished I'd seen more of him. The Hound only had one scene in this whole episode, and it was a decent scene, but I just wanted more of him. Really,
I kind of was mad that him and Brienne didn't have a moment.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I guess
they
kind of had their moment last season. You know, when they finally met up again, it's like that's kind of all they needed to say after she tried to murder him. You know, so
sure.
I can't believe I'm about to say these words, and I got to check to make sure I'm still me when I say this. I'm surprised more people didn't talk to Bran Stark.
talking to him.
Actually, I know, fuck him, but still.
An interesting thing about talking to Bran, though, is that one person did.
Oh, yeah, Jaime did.
Yeah, Jaime
actually went out of his way to look for Bran, which is weird.
Oh, someone else did?
Tyrion at the very end.
Oh, right.
Because this is actually a little callback to the first season. Because when he got knocked the fuck out, Tyrion said, like, I wonder what his story would be like. I hope he wakes up someday. And that's the end of this episode, is him finding out that story.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember that, where he's like, it's a long story. Well, it's not like we have a few hours before the end of the world, you could tell me.
Dude, you know what that story's going to be? Well, I got dragged along a lot, and then I kind of watched everyone around me die while I did nothing. Actually, it's not a long story at all.
That's some good come full circle writing right there. That's some good
It's actually
shit.
Not a long story at all.
I would love it if Tyrion just like, you killed Hodor? You monster!
Oh,
fucking asshole.
I'll never forgive Bran Stark for killing Hodor. Good.
You killed
Hodor.
R.I.P. Hodor. R.I.P.
Hashtag justice for Hodor. That's what's going to be there. Now, so
I think there's one thing left we have to jump into, right?
John and Danny, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Man, John is an absolute fucking idiot because he delivers this news at the absolute worst time he could ever do it.
He literally could have said it any other point after he had learned the fact this episode. It's like, okay, maybe now. No? Okay. Okay, maybe now.
Not even before that. No, like after the battle. Save it for after that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well,
they don't know if they're going to make it, but I guess it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
Yeah, just take it to your grave.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Like, I love that he doesn't give the answer to of like, so if you're the proper heir to the throne, I guess that means you're the last male heir. And Danny's like, Jenny's just looking at him like, yeah, I love you and everything, but now if you try and go for the throne, we're gonna have a fucking problem.
Well, this is the second time this episode that someone of the member of the Stark family has basically been in a situation with Danny, and instead of getting a clear answer at the end of the conversation, the plot calls.
Yeah, but at the same time though, her the whole thing was like, where the hell did you hear about this? Like, oh, Bran told me. Like, Bran knows, and Sam confirmed it. He's like, yo, check your sources. Get some facts.
Yeah.
My brother and best friend told me.
Biased news. Biased news. You got your best friend and your brother to tell you.
Yeah. I was like, yeah, she has a point.
But on the upside, because they have this unresolved conflict, they're definitely going to survive the next episode so that they can find
it. Well, there has to be, and there has to be, again, third episode, there has to be something to do afterwards, which apparently Cersei said, fuck it, and took the Ironborn dude and decided to go get the Elves or fuck itself, because she was not in this episode at all.
I would love it if that's like, she's so pissed at Hal, it's like, wait, you didn't get any elephants? Fine, yeah. I'm getting the elephants myself.
I also think Tyrion and Jaime are safe because Bronn is not getting there in time, and you know that story arc has to come to a close, so one of them has got to make it. Mm. Most likely Tyrion.
Wouldn't that be weird if Bronn just showed up in the middle of the battle just like, well, I got hired to murder you guys anyways, I don't care if there's zombies.
I don't think, I think Bronn would take one look at a zombie army and go, nope.
Maybe I'll give it an hour.
For this.
Yeah, that's
look
true.
At this way. He'll just look at it, hey, maybe Tyrion will just die in the battle and I get paid anyway, so I don't do anything.
Yeah, I fought a dragon last time and I didn't even get paid for that shit.
Right.
Oh yeah, you just fight a dragon.
There's one thing, though, that people have started bringing up, at least on, like, social media and shit, and that's, like, the Mad Queen theory. And someone had brought up the idea that there's a chance, because Dany's so threatened, that she might actually kill Jon. Either try to kill Jon or actually do it. Which, I
mean, sure,
I don't know how
story
I feel about
could
that.
Go
but
that way. I have a hard time buying it.
I actually like, don't.
It, it's a realistic chance. I don't think they'd actually pull the trigger on it. But it's a real possibility, considering... Look how she freaked the fuck out when she found out about the thing. Not, and her reaction was not about, oh, shit, I had sex with, like, my nephew. It's, you might go after my throne. You have more of a chance.
Yeah,
than
I love that the sleeping with the nephew thing didn't even register with them. Like, they didn't even think about
it. Like, I want my throne.
I think that's,
well, again, because the only thing that Daenerys Targaryen has ever cared about is being on the throne. That's why when she talks to Sansa Stark and goes... And she basically almost says, like, how am I? I'm the crazy person because I'm helping him fight a war instead of taking the throne. She doesn't give a shit that there's a war. She's helping Jon because they have a mutual whatever the hell. And basically, Jon's going to help her take the throne. That was the whole point of bend the knee. She doesn't care what the hell's going on. So I don't know if she necessarily would kill him, but she's going to fucking, like, she's going to take heads after that battle to make sure
she gets
him. I hope
she kills him. I actually want that.
Well, to be fair, show Danny has always been more compassionate and kind of more of a likable character than book Danny.
Very true. Very true.
And so I love that in Emilia Clarke does a really great job in this episode of just like she shows compassion and like camaraderie with all these people. But at the very end of all those conversations, you can always tell like, yes, we have mutual respect and you know, we might have disagree, but hopefully we can come to it, a compromise. But if we don't and it's down to you or it's down to you or the throne, it ain't going to be you. Like,
yeah.
Well, interesting note, too, though, is that. There's something very specific with the Targaryen bloodline is that they're the only ones that can control dragons.
Right.
Which means
that has never been established in the show, and it'd be weird to bring it up tomorrow.
Well, I mean, Jon's the only other one that's rode a dragon, but it's not the dragons let other people ride them.
But
so.
Not ride them by themselves.
Not control them. Like, people can ride on the dragons, but nobody can control a dragon except a Targaryen.
I really think that's just something from the books that isn't necessarily going to get translated.
It's not spelled out in the show. It's more laid out visually. Like, you have to imply that, like, it seems to be that only Targaryens can deal with dragons. So, mm-hmm.
Which would, if it is true, would
yeah. be I think right. that we're I think we're extrapolating that. If you had no idea about the books existing and no idea about that, you'd be like, whatever. They just accepted him because, you know, they're well trained and he's not an asshole.
Yeah,
because
you're saying that people aren't going to overanalyze Game of Thrones.
They also set up. Did you notice, like, last episode, they also set up a great conflict too, because the dragons don't do well in a cold climate. Mm-hmm. So the zombie dragon, it doesn't give a shit. So it's probably going to take both of them to deal with that and keep it busy while the other guys deal with the Night King.
Yeah. Look, don't worry, man. Some Dovahkiin's gonna show up. He's gonna start shouting. Dun, dun, dun. They're gonna start playing the Skyrim theme.
Why the dragons don't just go out and wipe all the whites like immediately? So the zombie dragon has to like tie them both up, and so they have a realistic reason why it's about as strong as two dragons.
Yeah, but sorry, Shaq. We talked over you earlier there. What were you gonna say?
No, I didn't have anything after that. I already said what I wanted to say earlier.
Okay.
Was just. The Mad Queen thing, and that was the only thing I wanted to bring up.
Okay. Yeah, no, and it's all interesting to speculate this stuff, but we'll find out next week, because they definitely affirmed at the very end of this episode, yep, the White Walkers are literally, like, a few miles outside of Winterfell now, so...
Hi, guys!
Yeah, they're at waving distance from them, pretty much.
And all of them are clones. We're having the clone trooper battle, because I'm like, we got the Night King, but then we have like 6 or 7 of his identical looking brothers just chilling.
Yeah, so that's all being set up, and they finished the episode with a great rendition of a song that's apparently from the books. The what's the name of the song specifically? It's
Jenny and the Old Stones.
Yeah, which and then I know Alan, the big thing he was so crazy about was the end credit version of that. Who sang that song?
Sung by the greatest musician, personally, the greatest musician on the planet, Florence Welch. I started freaking out. I was like, wait, I recognize that lyricist. That's Florence fucking Welch. So I looked that shit up, and I just started freaking out. Because Florence and the Machine is my favorite fucking like musical act ever. So I just started losing my mind. I'm like, it's end credit music. Who's going to consider this a spoiler? And now Nick's yelling at me.
Well, don't get mad at me when I say this, but who dat?
Oh.
What? Oh.
Okay, did you like the end credits, man?
I didn't say for
it. I got it. What?
You had to go to work.
Well, it's it's the song Pod like sings.
I mean, Podrick sang the song earlier in the thing.
It's a rendition of the song that Podrick sings.
Yeah, he sang the song, and I was like, wow, you're a great singer. And then the end credit happened. I'm like, okay, no one could beat Florence fucking Welch. Like, holy shit.
Yeah. No, I'm sure if you look up Florence and the Machine, you know some of the songs. They've been around for a good, what, like 8, 9 years, something like that?
If you play Final Fantasy 15, they did the opening song. They did the end song to... check out the Miss Pettigrew's house.
And Maleficent,
movie.
I think, also. Didn't they do that? Yeah,
they did it. They did the song for Maleficent. And they're a fucking incredible musical act. I highly recommend them. All their music's on Spotify. Best fucking, like, she is an incredible fucking lyricist. So I'm so happy Game of Thrones is putting respect on her name.
Which, you know, Game of Thrones has always done that, where they get their favorite music acts to show up for these shows, like Sigur Rós and those people. Where you're like, okay, somebody clearly has a good taste in music on this show.
Also, I forgot to bring this up last episode, because I didn't think about it until after, but apparently that whole story that, like, when Bronn was in the whorehouse or whatever, and those three girls were talking about, like, the dude.
Oh, yes.
That character was the person they were talking about. Was Ed Sheeran's character.
Yep, they decided, it's like, well, everyone hated that Ed Sheeran cameo so much, which I think was overreacting, personally, but...
It absolutely was.
Oh, it wasn't. It was
another moment of who dat for me.
It wasn't a moment for who dat, because I hate Ed Sheeran so goddamn much. I think his
music
Sheeran's
is fucking
great.
Awful. Fuck
no, he's awful. But his music
is
trash.
He's the Stark of music.
Anyway!
But yes,
listen, I have no
it's
going
to be hilarious when they play that Weekend SZA Travis Scott song next week.
Oh,
and
you I'll fucking
straight
lose
up
my
over
mind.
A fucking White Walker. All we're going to hear is, it's lit, right when the dragons show up. I'm betting this right now.
Dude, I'm turning it off if Travis Scott shows up and ruins another thing, because he ruined the fucking Super Bowl with the SpongeBob song.
Oh, yeah, gosh. No, it'll be Kendrick doing a song at the end. I don't know. Something like that.
It'll be The Weeknd. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Dude, no, literally, The Weeknd has a song on the soundtrack. It's already out.
Oh, is it? Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
oh,
and they said this is going to be in, I think it's going to be on the show, probably in, like, another end credit situation.
Oh, I thought you were kidding. Okay, wow.
I legit thought you were kidding. Fine.
No,
they
made a whole soundtrack album like they did the first time.
Wow.
And they got all these different musical acts and shit.
Yeah. That's fine at the end credits, because, like, picking a song during a battle is...
It It won't be during the show, but it'll be funny as fuck if it is during the show.
Let's just ruin this battle.
Yeah. Like, well, and apparently, you know, they've been trying to cram in a bunch of secret cameos throughout the show, too, because weren't there... Oh, yeah, Rob McElhenney and Martin Starr cameoed last episode as Ironborn soldiers, which I'm like, wait, what?
The fuck?
Well, everyone, it's, really? It's like the whole Stormtrooper with, like, a bunch of people. Like, people just want to be part of Game of Thrones, even if it's, like, extras.
Oh, no, seriously, like, even, probably my favorite story of that was during the last season battle with the loot train battle, one of the guys who was, who was it, the Lannister soldiers, it was a famous baseball player who's like the biggest fan of Game of Thrones, and he's just like, look, I don't care if I'm in it for like 2 seconds, just put me in there. And you can actually have like, he has a pronounced cameo where you see this dude's like, dude, that's Eric Snydergaard, no way.
That's nuts.
Yeah, so everyone wants to get on this Game of Thrones train, because it's awesome.
But oh yeah, this is going to be bigger than Breaking Bad's finale.
To speak to Shaq's point, I was a little disappointed when they said, like, hey, could you sing us a song, Podrick? And he didn't just go, somebody once told me.
I'm so
that
glad.
That would have been hilarious.
No, he starts singing Ed Sheeran's song for the last season.
Oh, I'll fucking lose my goddamn mind. Oh my god.
Oh, that's great. But I think that's just about everything that we talked about in the episode. And we talked just about as long as the episode was.
God damn it.
I mean, to be fair, there was a lot to unpack this episode, which...
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, this
that's
is true. A shorter episode of the season.
Right? Yeah, wait until we get to the hour and a half episodes. Yeah, wow.
We haven't gotten to the long ones yet.
Yeah. No, actually, because, yeah, all the next four episodes are all going to be 80 to 85 minutes long, so...
And let's watch them blow the budget.
Wait, I'm just Ed Sheeran cameos.
Yeah. Oh so then, yeah. Any last thoughts before we sign off, everybody?
Everyone's dead. Everyone's
Look,
going to
at
die.
At least four people have to survive the next battle.
Okay.
You
okay. You know what? Let's make a bet. Who do you think will be the first to die next episode? Let's just do that.
First
one.
To die.
Greyjoy. Greyjoy's gonna die, but not first.
Probably Grey Worm, I'd say.
No, he because if they're gonna keep Theon. Him as bait, if they're gonna keep him as bait, he'll die. But he'll die later on because eventually they gotta get to him.
See, I don't have a guess for who's last to die.
Oh, yeah?
The Night
well,
King.
Well, my guess for that is that during a retreat, like whatever they end up doing for the retreat to extend the battle because it's the third episode, they can't just win. Like, Brienne and Jaime are going to be falling back. Jaime, like, Brienne's defending Jaime, can't quite defend her. Pod comes in for one more big save, but gets nailed in the back.
Oh,
because he's cheated death a couple times too, and now that like Brienne's like a knight, like we got to bring her down since she had her up moment. She needs her. We haven't had our all is lost moment yet, so everyone needs to lose a character that they're like, oh my fucking god, I just lost one of my best friends in the world.
Yeah. No, I think Podrick's definitely expendable there, and I think Ed will probably be one of the first ones to go next episode too.
Oh, that's a good point.
That's so hard to do because I was thinking, you know, Giant Milk, Giant's Bane, but then I'm like, no, because there's still a lot he could do. There's so much he could do with everyone that I
don't know.
Can't
like,
think.
I think Tormund could possibly be expendable because he's pretty much done his character development. Like, there's
the
no
fire sword guy is gonna fucking get squashed
he,
in 2 seconds.
You know, I don't wish Barrett to go, but I kind of hope he has like one moment where he goes out in a blaze of glory. You know, no pun intended.
Oh yeah, he's gonna be surrounded by White Walkers. And goes, hey,
well,
so,
he might
fire
be so unimportant that the show just forgets about him and he survives.
Yeah. That'd be good if his last words as he's like dying or bleeding to death are like, finally, and then he just passes away.
As the Lord of Light brings him back. Not the goddamn
damn it.
Well, he
gets resurrected as a White Walker.
Yeah,
he's just like,
no, he just shows up like a Call of Duty respawn timer.
And he just gets up
eight,
and just goes,
seven,
no.
Six. Press A to respond.
Yeah, and I mean, the one person I definitely say should not die next episode, because freaking, we need Clegane Bolt, dang it. The Hound better make it out to fight his brother.
It would feel weird if they denied us Clegane Bolt when they've serviced the fans so often on other occasions.
Yeah, I mean, that one they directly hinted at last season. They're like, look, this has to happen. We are going to fight.
Oh, yeah, they almost like made a WrestleMania ad out of it. Like, you and me, brother, in the ring next Saturday. Sunday. You'll pay for the whole seat, but you'll only need the edge.
You may be a mountain, but I see a molehill. I don't know. So there we go. I think that's just about everything. So let's just do our outros. Let's see. Who should I start with? You know what? Shaq, you go ahead first this time.
Shaq, excellent.
Oh, I knew it was going to be the black guy that goes first.
Fuck y'all motherfuckers, I'm doing my shit. Don't interrupt me when I'm doing my shit. Shock Excellence, all the social medias, Instagram, Twitter, that's all that stuff. SHAK Excellence. Also, go check out my other podcast, Sequels. That's Sequels with two E's. Go follow us on Spotify, Google Play, whatever podcast listening service you use. Just follow us there, and also follow us on all our social medias at Sequels. That's SEEQUELS.
Excellent. And what's the next movie up for Sequels?
Van Wilder Freshman Year.
Oh my gosh.
It's going to be awful.
Never mind. I don't know who's not going to survive next week.
I'm literally watching
battle.
It once we're done recording this. So it should be out by like today or tomorrow.
Oh wow.
R.I.P.,
or Monday,
man.
Or Tuesday.
Wow. Okay then.
But we were going to do a 420 episode. We were going to do How High 2, but it wasn't out streaming yet. So, and I'm not sure it's going to be available in time. So we're just doing this instead.
Fair enough. Nick and Travis then.
Oh, well, you can always find us, scrounging around trying to make betting pools on who's going to live and die on any given show.
Price is Right's a really hard one.
Price is Right, I feel like Drew Carey's going to go one of these days. I feel like it's going to pay off. Oh, I mean, he's old and fat, and how many old fat guys do you know?
I mean, he did lose a ton of weight from Who's Line, from those days.
Yeah, but he did a deal with the devil. You know those, like, come with a timetable on them. Aww. Anyway, what were we talking about?
I don't remember.
Probably.
I don't remember either. Oh, wait. Netflix and Kill. You can find our Netflix and Kill podcast where we review killer movies on Netflix, where Shaq, Justin, and some other great guests have been guests on, and we've talked about some really crazy cool movies. Stand Against Evil podcast, Pod Against Evil. I'm on Screen to Squad every once in a while. Les's show, The Good Die Young, I'm on the first couple episodes of his first season. I'm going to be on every episode of the second season that we do on Happy Town. I think that's everything. Travis?
You can just find me whispering over Nick's shoulder.
Again, because Travis, like we've established, does not exist.
I'm actually just a puppet. A literal puppet.
Yep.
Oh, boy. Bradley, do you want to tell the people the one thing you're on?
Yeah, I'm on the Screen Squad.
Yeah, because fuck you, Brad.
Hey, I'm just saying from last week, I gave him a platform saying, just promote whatever you want. He goes, Screener Squad.
That is all. And I'm good with that. And, listen to the Screener Squad, everybody. I talk the best I can about movies, usually with someone much more competent and well-versed in.
No, hey, film. You know what? Bradley, to be fair, you have been one of the biggest VIPs on the podcast, because literally almost every movie, you're the first to jump on it. You're just like, me, to everything. Like,
jumping
it doesn't matter
on grenades,
what.
Yeah.
Including the Christian ones.
You know what? If I actually did go out to the theater to watch Breakthrough, I will talk about it with you.
I'm not fucking watching no goddamn Breakthrough.
See, that's what sets you apart, Bradley, because most people have
apparently
standards.
It's good.
You know what? I've actually heard this one's one of the better Christian movies, so who knows? But anyway.
Yeah, that still means nothing to me.
Oh, so it's like the least amount of syphilis I've ever had.
No, it brings up interesting things to talk about, you know.
Yeah.
Interesting conversations can come from
this. If we can get more people to listen to our podcast, we will placate to the Christian audience. I'm just saying, man. But
no, the fuck
that's
we will.
That's on y'all.
No, again, I will. You guys don't have to. I will do it.
Shaq, yes. Vouch for me. We talk about Jesus all the time in the Breakfast Pub. Every Sunday.
Oh, yes, we do.
Listen to the Gotham podcast where we somehow say that Gotham is set in the post.
I forgot about the final days of Gotham. Thanks, Alan.
Yes,
which, for people who don't know, I last week promoted, like, oh, it's going to be our final episode, but Fox decided to mess with us, so this week will be our final episode. For Gotham. Yeah, so we will actually have a final episode after the one that just came out this week, and we will actually have Chris on that one. So there you go. This time it's for realsies. But then, last but not least, Alan.
Hey, so if you go to Facebook and type in Midnight Chat Attack, all one word, you will see the giant orange M. That is the logo where you'll find me talking to a bunch of other people coherently babbling about all sorts of topics. So be sure to check that out. We're at Twitch at The Chat Attack, and we're on YouTube for Midnight Chat Attack as well. So check that out if you want to hear me talk about all sorts of stuff and review all sorts of things. I'm also on Screener Squad with Bradley, Justin, Nick, and all those people, as well as with On the Gotham. So be sure to check those out as well.
Absolutely. And yeah, again, you can find me in all these locations here on oneofus.net. I'm on The Breakfast Pub. I'm on Eye on the Prize, which is on hiatus right now. We're finishing up the Gotham podcast. We're doing this show. I wrangle everybody for Screener Squad, which actually we've had reviews out from every single one of you guys here on the show for that one, this last week at least. That was pretty cool. So even though I know Nick had a few thoughts to say about that one Little Woods movie, so
dude, I Which liked one? It. I mean, I liked it.
Oh,
but
I totally forgot I watched that.
Yeah. So no, expect to hear more reviews coming out. In fact, one with Alan is going to come out probably the time this releases. So yeah, that's cool. Otherwise, thank you all for listening, and get ready next week because it's going to get bloody.
Everybody's dying. Everybody's dying. Everybody's dying on Game of Thrones.